God bless you. It's always a privilege to share God's word, and I had anticipated we'd have more children here, so I kind of made it more of a children's fellowship teaching, but we are all children of God, and if you can teach a child, you can teach anyone. So I'm going to share today, my title of my teaching is, In Christ, I can Help You. I love it when I go to Bank of America because the tellers always say, I can help you. And I appreciate that because, you know, people normally say, can I help you? But it's a confidence that you know what you're doing. And as Christians, we know what we're doing. So we should be able to say to anyone, I can help you. In Christ, I can help you. So I want to open up this morning with Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. And we sang that song, I Can Do All Things Through Christ Which Strengtheneth Me. So we're going to look at that verse. Because in our walks, it's not just about how many scriptures you know, but it's how many scriptures you do. And it only takes one to do. Get a little echo there. Okay. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And the Majera text, the Aramaic says, I find strength in everything in Christ who strengtheneth me. I find strength in everything in Christ. It's not about I can do all things, but in Christ I can do all things. So we know in our physical abilities we are limited, but in Christ we can do all things. And who are we? But we are in Christ. That is the true reality. We are new creations in Christ. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have the same mission that Jesus Christ had. We are to represent God to the world today through Jesus Christ. We do the things that Jesus Christ did. If you look at... let's look at Luke chapter 4. We're going to look at what Jesus Christ did. And I think this is kind of the summary of his life's calling. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, and it was also prophesied in Isaiah 61. But in Luke 4, verse 18. I'm probably there and you're... I'm probably at the wrong place, and you guys are where you need to be. Okay, Luke 4:18, it says, Okay, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And in the Majera text it says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, and because of this, he has anointed me to preach to the poor, and has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and to preach forgiveness to the captives, and sight to the blind, and to strengthen the broken with forgiveness. That's pretty amazing. Jesus Christ came to preach to the poor, to heal the broken. He was sent to heal the broken. Sent means some action. You go out and you heal the brokenhearted. To preach forgiveness to the captives and sight to the blind, and to strengthen the broken with forgiveness. You know, in life, all of us have received some brokenness. And the greatest thing that we can do is receive God's love and forgiveness and share that forgiveness with others, especially those that are hurting. Just recently, I guess it was on Labor Day, we went down to Kellogg Beach to swim, and there was a gal on the, well, there was a whole bunch of people there, and I noticed this one gal, and I'd seen her before, there, and she was walking over to talk to someone, and she had this kind of pain in her face. And so I just thought about it. And then the next day, I was putting, we went swimming that Tuesday afternoon after work, and I put my bathing suit on in this white cover-up, which I've never worn before. And I thought about it, and that was the same cover-up that this gal that I'd seen the day before. So I, we got down to the beach, and she was there on the beach again, all by herself, sitting there. And I asked her, well, how's the water? And she said, well, she hadn't been in, that it was a really rough day for her. And I said, is there anything I can do for you? And she goes, well, just saying that really blessed me. So I went down, she was sitting in a low chair, and I went down and knelt by her, and I said, well, can I pray for you? And she just broke down in tears and said that she was having surgery. And she's a Zumba teacher at the Point Loma Library, and Judy's actually been to her classes and some of the other gals. And she has to have a plate put in around her neck, and she's been in excruciating pain for the last 6 weeks. So I just told her she didn't have to be in fear, that God provided a way through Jesus Christ to heal her. And I just shared the word with her, and she goes, and Bob and Susie were waiting in the water for me. So she goes, well, when you're done swimming, come back. My friend Brian's going to come, and he talks like you do, and you can pray with me again. And so I came back and started talking to them, and I administered to her, and I administered to her nerves, and she says, well, that's exactly what the problem is, my nerves. I don't have any feeling in my arms. So I talked to Brian and talked about the power of God and speaking in tongues and all that. And it was amazing what went on. And so I got her email address, and she had surgery on Monday. So I'm looking forward to going down today to see her. But I could have just said hi and, you know, that's, you know, things are cool. And I didn't have to get involved. But Jesus Christ got involved, and that's what our lives are all about, is getting involved with people. He went to the brokenhearted. He didn't handpick people. Everybody where he went, he ministered to. My mom and I got our nails done yesterday, as we walk in, they have the Buddha and the soup and grapes and all this stuff, and I thought, whoa. But it was cheap and right there. And so I sat the gal next to me, I started talking to her, and I shared all about the forgiving Father and all this stuff. And the gals that were working there, they heard it. The Word of God was shared. And that's what our lives are all about, getting involved in people around us. So that's what Jesus Christ did. And he said, remember, in Christ I can do all things. Well, there's a word there, do, that's very important. And we see that word do in John. Please turn to John chapter 14. But that's what our lives are for. Christ may come back any day, and he will come back soon, because the word is going around the world. People are hearing the word every day through media and the computer. You know, each time we speak to someone, that's another person receiving the word. And but John 14, let's look at, start in verse 10. Says, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father which dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. You know, the works that Jesus Christ did, we can do, and greater works. We can lead someone into the new birth. But it's, we can do it. But we have to put ourselves in that position and look for opportunities. In Acts chapter 10, you know, we have the same DNA that Jesus Christ had. We all have the same measure of Holy Spirit. You know, Jet's Holy Spirit is the same measure that Bob has. Look how much bigger they are. You know, you'd think Holy Spirit could fill you up. size you are. Holy Spirit is no respecter of persons, that everybody has that same ability, same size. We have that same Holy Spirit. Acts 10:38, now, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That was what Jesus Christ did. That was his purpose in life, and we are a new creation in Christ. We do the things that Jesus Christ did. So we are anointed of the Holy Spirit. We've received Holy Spirit. So we are to go out and do good. What's doing good but speaking the word, the good news? Healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with them. And that's our life today. That's what God has called us to do. Think about the brokenhearted that Jesus Christ dealt with. You know, and when you're sick, your heart's broken. No matter if it's a toe, a little toe that's been bruised or whatever, there's something that's hurting in you. And all of us have had something. Jesus, he was going out of town, and there was a burial procession goes past him. And there's this widow woman whose son had died. So he stopped and he said, "Woman, weep no more." And he raised the boy from the dead. He was dead. Said, "Son, get up." You know, that mother's heart was broken. What did he do? He took care of it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we can take care of things. How about the woman with the issue of blood? She went 12 years seeking deliverance. She spent all that she had to be healed and was the worse for it. Then she hears about this man from Galilee that's here. He had a one-year ministry. A lot of that word had to go fast. And she hears about him, and if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be free. I'll be healed. Isn't that amazing? So she went and touched him and was healed. And then he says, "Who touched me?" And so he again had to assure her, tell her, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." You know, we need assurance, but we need to reach out to people. I want to share with you a modern day parable. And Jed, this is a book that I've had for years. It's called Mr. Bell's Fix-It Shop. And I looked online, a brand new one. This was an 89-cent golden book. Today, if it's brand new, in good condition, this is not in good condition. I think our dog ate it. No. But it was pretty worn. In good condition, it's worth $30. An $89 book. I think this one's probably worth about 10, but in my heart it's worth a million. So, Jed, I'm going to read this book, and I thought maybe you could read it along. You guys could. I made a copy just so I could read it because it's large print, and then you guys could see it. But it's a modern-day version of someone that serves. And I think this will all tie into my teaching. But it's called Mr. Bell's Fix-It Shop. It's written by Ronnie Peltzman and illustrated by Aurelius Battaglia. Mr. Bell could fix almost anything. Broken locks, broken clocks, broken pans, broken fans, broken plates, broken skates, he could fix them all. People smiled when they walked past his little shop and saw the sign in the window. It said, "Mr. Bell's Fix-It Shop. I fix everything but broken hearts." Mr. Bell did all the fixing in the back of his shop. At the workbench, he kept tools and screws and nails and nuts and bolts. He had pots of paint and jars of glue. In every musty, dusty corner, there were bins and boxes filled with odds and ends. Jill, who lived, his friends told him that his shop was too messy. "Throw some things away," they said. But Mr. Bell said, "No, there's a use for everything. You never know when you will need a doorknob or a pickle jar." Don't we all think that some things? There's always someone that says, you got too much there. But with us, we got Holy Spirit, so that's all we need. If you want a pickle jar, you can have one. Jill, who lived nearby, loved to look around at Mr. Bell's shop. She came nearly every day after school. I want to have a fix-it shop of my own when I grow up, she said. So Mr. Bell made her his special keeper, helper. One afternoon, as Jill was helping Mr. Bell polish the front window, she asked, what's a broken heart? Well, said Mr. Bell, when you feel so sad that you think you'll never be happy again, that's when you know your heart is broken. Gee, said Jill, I hope I never have a broken heart. One day, Mr. Bell was extra busy. Ben the barber had a radio that wouldn't play. My customers miss the music, he said. Don't worry, said Mr. Bell. I'll fix your radio as good as new. Otto, the laundryman, had an iron that wouldn't get hot. What good are clean clothes if you can't iron them, he asked. Don't worry, said Mr. Bell. I'll fix that iron as good as new. It's kind of a motto there. I'll fix it as good as new. Sarah Stevens had a camera that wouldn't click. I'm going to Australia, she said. It won't be any fun if I can't take pictures of the kangaroos. Don't worry, said Mr. Bell. Your camera will be good as new in no time. Mr. Bell spent all afternoon at his workbench. I could certainly use Jill's help today, he thought. I wonder where she is. It was nearly supper time when Mr. Bell finished his work. He was hungry. It will be good to get home to my cabbage soup and roast beef, he said to himself. Suddenly, Jill burst into the shop. She looked very unhappy. Why, Jill, said Mr. Bell, what's wrong? I went to Grandma's house today, Jill said. Her new puppy chewed up Rosie. She held up her doll. It looked at her. Just look at her, Jill started to cry. Bad dog. Read that book about Marley, the bad dog Marley. Mr. Bell forgot about his supper. Don't cry, Jill, he said. I'll fix Rosie as good as new. Really, asked Jill. She was still crying. I promise, said Mr. Bell. You run along now and don't worry about a thing. I'll see you tomorrow. Mr. Bell took Rosie to his workbench. He found an old baseball bat. It's a good thing I didn't throw this away, he said. He carved a new arm and a new leg for Rosie. He smoothed away all the splinters and painted up and polished the wood. It's a good thing I didn't throw this away, he said as he picked up an old lampshade. With scissors and glue, he turned fringes and tassels into beautiful new hair for Rosie. A blue ribbon that matched Rosie's eyes became a big, bright bow for her new hair. Mr. Bell even made Rosie a brand new dress and shiny new shoes with scraps of gingham and satin. Finally, he looked through his pots of paint until he found the color that was just right for a smile. With a little brush, he painted a cheery new smile on Rosie's face. It was past his bedtime when Mr. Bell left the shop. As he rode home, he remembered the cabbage soup and roast beef. My supper will be very late tonight, he thought, but it will taste extra good. Next morning, Jill was waiting for Mr. Bell when he came to open the shop. Did you fix Rosie? She asked. See for yourself, said Mr. Bell, smiling. Come inside. Oh, Mr. Bell, Jill exclaimed when she saw her doll. She looks beautiful. Good as new, said Mr. Bell. Jill gave him a big hug. That afternoon, as Jill was helping polish the window, she said, "You know, Mr. Bell, there's something else I think you should fix." "What's that?" asked Mr. Bell. "This sign," Jill explained. "It says you can't fix broken hearts, but when you fixed Rosie, you fixed my broken heart too." People still smile when they walk past Mr. Bell's fix-a-chop and see this sign in front, but the sign is just a little different now. The crack in the heart has a bandage painted over it, and the words above it say, "Mr. Bell's fix-it-shop. I fix everything, even broken hearts." The end. Mr. Bell had a great work ethic. He always knew that he could take on anything, but he limited himself in that he felt he could not fix broken hearts. And sometimes in our lives, we limited ourselves because we think, well, you know, I don't know enough of the word, or I'm just not confident. But Mr. Bell went into that situation and did something. He just moved on to the next level because Rosie believed in him. And our Heavenly Father believes in each one of us. He knows, he handpicked us as if we were a peach in the produce department. Every little perfect aspect of our life, he picked us out. And he filled us with that Holy Spirit and gave us the ability to do the works that Jesus Christ did, and greater works. Not just the works, but greater works. So in our lives, we mend the brokenhearted. We fix those people that are hurt, because that's what the adversary comes to do, steal, kill, and destroy. And our purpose is to love people, to show them how much God loves them, and for us to accept how much God loves us. Because we have to love ourselves before we can love someone else. So I encourage you to get quiet with the Father and just talk, think about your heart. And if there's something in your heart that might be broken, that you can give to the Father. He says we cast all of our care upon him, before he cares for us, that we are anxious, not have no care for nothing, and everything we give thanks. And we have the ability. Mr. Bell didn't know that he could do that aspect of ministering to people. And a lot of Christians don't know that they can minister. So I used to use this teaching, I taught it years ago, and leading it up to Jesus Christ being the healer of broken hearts. But we represent Christ today, and it's all about what we're going to do with the Word of God, the power of God that's in our lives. And there's people that are looking, people that are out there that so want to believe, so want to be loved, and that's what our mission is, to heal the brokenhearted. So we can put a sign up in front of our hearts saying, "In Christ, I can help you." So God bless you.